There is a Dale Earnhardt in the field today, but it is not the seven-time NASCAR Winston Cup champion. It is Dale Earnhardt Jr.
Dale, his dad told me up in Michigan just before we came down here, he said he may have more race car than he does experience, but we'll see how he does, and indeed we will.
Dale Earnhardt Jr., first attempt to qualify for a Busch Series Grand National Division race. A bit surprised at the qualifying position, or did you expect to be up this close?
Well, we knew we were good in practice, but, you know, it's just a surprise to make the field.
The fans are going absolutely crazy. Dale Earnhardt Jr. comes to the checkered flag and wins the 2000 running of the Winston.
What are you going to do with that $500,000?
Probably give it to Pops, let him do. He knows what to do with the money. I just know how to drive, that's all.
Dale Earnhardt Jr. pulls down to the start-finish line. He will win the 46th running of the Great American Race.
I always said, you know, people have asked me ever since I turned 40 when I would retire and all that, and all I wanted to do was be able to make that choice myself.
Checkered flag, ready to fly. It's Earnhardt in turn three.
Runner up no more at Martinsville. Dale Earnhardt Jr. off turn number four for the final time, and he has won here at the Martinsville Speedway.
You know, mentally, you have to make the decision if you want to keep racing, and if you want to keep racing, you got to go in 100%. This is the top elite, you know, series of motorsports in North America, and if you're going to be out there, you can't do it without 100%.
Coming to the line, Dale Earnhardt Jr. wins the 2008 Budweiser Shootout, scoring the first victory in his tenure at Hendrick Motorsports.
You get into a routine of doing the same thing over and over and over. You sort of lose sight of how fortunate you are and how fun it is, and that you're supposed to be having fun. You do it for fun. You lose sight of that a little bit as you're going through that week-to-week-to-week grind, and every off-season sort of seems to get shorter, and you're going back again and again and again. You can definitely lose sight of just really trying to enjoy what's happening to you.
At Daytona, the final time off turn four, Dale Earnhardt Jr. with the lead.
To the start-finish line, Michael Waltrip dives to the inside, but Dale Earnhardt Jr. wins the Aaron's 499.
One of the things that I learned early in my career that was one of the most difficult things was that people were going to come and go. As a kid, you're naive, and you just assume things are going to last.
Dale Earnhardt Jr. will win for the sixth time at Talladega Super Speedway.
Dale Jr. looking three wide into three, and Stenhouse brushes the wall.
You know, you didn't realize how lucky you were to be there and have those moments, you know. And those, they're gone. They're long, long gone, and you never get them back.
What a headline this is going to make. Dale Earnhardt Jr. comes back to the Daytona International Speedway, leading the pack, coming to the line. He will win the Pepsi 400.
Saluting 23-year-old Dale Earnhardt Jr.
The sport's going to be fine as drivers continue to retire and new guys come in. We got some pretty exciting guys coming in, a lot of talent, a lot of personality. So I'm hopeful for the future of the sport.
That's a tribute to Dale Earnhardt Jr., who yesterday announced he would be retiring from the sport of NASCAR at the end of the season. And we're going to talk more Dale Earnhardt Jr. right now and bring in a special guest. He is Woody Kane. He is a pit and turn announcer for the Motor Racing Network, also the host of NASCAR Today. Woody, it's a pleasure to get you on the show. I appreciate the time.
You bet. Good to be here.
Definitely an exciting time in NASCAR. I'm going to go out and say it. It's kind of a sad time in NASCAR with the recent retirement announcement of Dale Earnhardt Jr. Obviously, we get him for the remainder of the year, but how surprised were you, Woody, at this announcement yesterday?
Not so much at the announcement, but of the timing of it, I guess, would be the best way to put it. Last year, Dale Earnhardt Jr. was adamant about his desire to come back, his desire to work his way back into the seat, going through all the rehab he had to for the concussion symptoms and that type of thing. And he had said along the way, which made yesterday not surprising, that he wanted things to be on his terms, not forced because of an injury or a medical condition or what have you. So I guess I would have to say not necessarily surprised by the announcement, but maybe the timing of it. Even at Daytona at the beginning of the year, he was asked about his contract, you know, re-signing with Rick Hendrick since his contract ends at the end of this season. And at that time, he said, well, I want to wait a few races and see how things go before I make a decision. It turns out the reason was he wanted to make sure that it was an obligation he could fulfill instead of having to cut short if he decided to re-sign. And apparently he made that decision at the end of last month and made it known to Mr. Hendrick, and the rest is history, as they say.
You know, I know a lot of these questions were addressed yesterday in the press conference. You know, he was asked how much of this does, in fact, have to do with the concussions, and he did mention going out on the sport on his own terms, which is lovely. I mean, way too many times when we talk basketball, football, baseball, we see athletes unable to go out on their own terms, and that's just something that you absolutely hate to see. But looking at the legacy that Dale Earnhardt Jr. has really built, I mean, we're talking about one of the most successful drivers, one of the most popular drivers, I guess is what we should say, in the history of the sport. Where does NASCAR go from here? Because now we're talking about another legend. That's the third legend in as many seasons, Jeff Gordon, Tony Stewart, now Dale Earnhardt Jr.
Yeah, I think, and you see this in other sports as well, which sometimes people have a tendency to forget when, for example, when a Peyton Manning hangs up the cleats, did people go, oh my gosh, what is the NFL going to do now? No, because there were young stars coming up through the pipeline that people were paying attention to. Granted, the NFL is the 800-pound gorilla, and you know, they have their pipeline of young stars through the draft and whatnot. It's a little bit different in NASCAR. But look, you got Kyle Larson. He's only 26 years old. He just got his first win last year, won at his home track at Auto Club Speedway earlier this year, finished second four times, is leading the standings, and he's in that young guns category. Second in the standings, Chase Elliott, the son of a NASCAR Hall of Famer in Bill Elliott, and he could win at any weekend. He's right there knocking on the door. You look a little further back, you've got Ryan Blaney. He's 10th in the standings now, driving for the Wood Brothers, another second-generation driver in his early 20s. How about Eric Jones, a rookie teammate with Martin Truex Jr.? He's only 20 years old. You can go even further back and look at William Byron, who Rick Hendricks scooped up, got away from Kyle Busch Motorsports after he won 7 truck races there, now has him in an Xfinity car at Junior Motorsports, where he's second in the standings. And, you know, these young guys just keep coming up. Even what we now would think of as a sort of a grizzled veteran in a Joey Logano, he's only 26 years old. There are a lot of good, young, talented drivers that I think people will gravitate to coming up through the pipeline right now. It's a question of which one will they latch onto. If you're a junior fan, is there another guy in the wings, or is that going to be something where, you know, it'll never be the same for you? I think new young blood always comes along in every sport that capture people's attention.
Yeah, I definitely don't think that NASCAR is lacking talent in that regard, but I honestly believe in comparing the sports that this is a relevant comparison in the late 80s in the NBA moving into the early 90s when the league lost Magic Johnson, Larry Bird, and Dr. J. Those were three very marketable stars. Now, fortunately for the NBA, they had Michael Jordan, and he became the most marketable athlete probably in the history of professional sports. Does NASCAR have a guy that is equally as marketable, or do you see any of these young guns filling that type of role? Because they're talented, there's no doubt about it, but I think there is a difference between talent and marketability.
Yeah, I think Kyle Larson is a guy people are going to love as they get to know him more. Chase Elliott is the same way. Look at Daniel Suarez, for example, who's replacing Carl Edwards now over at Joe Gibbs Racing. That opens up a whole new avenue, a whole other market in the Latino market. You know, he's from Mexico, the defending Xfinity Series champ, even though technically he's not defending his title this year. He was the champ last year in the Xfinity Series. But that opens up a whole new market to NASCAR for people to reach who may have not been that interested before. Now that they've got a guy in terms of a Latino population that might be somebody to pull for, that opens up a whole range of other options. I think a more apt comparison, since NASCAR is it's not really, but you think of it as the individual driver when really it's a team sport with the guys building the cars, pitting the cars, the crew chief, that type of thing. But an apt comparison might be like Tiger Woods' situation in golf.
Yeah, that's a fair comparison as well. Again, our guest right now is Woody Cain from the Motor Racing Network. He's a pit reporter and turn announcer and also the host of NASCAR Today. Woody, let's talk about Hendrick. What does it mean for Hendrick Motorsports now that Dale Earnhardt Jr. will be gone at the end of the year? At least in my estimation, I mean, anyone that Rick Hendrick wants out of that garage, he's going to get, right, to replace Dale Earnhardt Jr. I mean, in your eyes, where do they go next?
Well, the easy answer is Alex Bowman, who filled in last year during his injury, along with Jeff Gordon. He's the guy that Hendrick didn't want to let get away. He wanted to keep him there because of what he does with simulation work, testing work for them, and plus a capable backup if one of the other guys gets injured. Remember, he's got over 80-some cup starts so far in his career. And now, is he the guy that's the marketable replacement to Dale Earnhardt Jr.? No, nobody's going to reach that level, at least immediately. Maybe he's a bridge to another another guy whose contract may be coming up at another team, you know, 1-2 years down the road. Maybe he's a bridge to a guy like a young William Byron, who was also over at Kyle Busch Motorsports that Rick Hendrick snatched away, as we talked about a little bit earlier, and is going to be moving up through the Xfinity Series ranks. He's second in the standings right now. Is he a bridge to a guy like that? Maybe. But I think the easy answer right now is an Alex Bowman. There's typically a gentleman's agreement where you don't go after other guys who are under contract to teams. I mean, it's been violated before in the past, but typically what you'll see is a guy who's coming out of a contract or in the last year of his contract start negotiating for something like that. It's a big seat, big shoes to fill, and you know the old cliche I'm sure you've heard is, do you want to be the guy that follows that guy?
Right, absolutely. If we talk in terms of what Dale Earnhardt Jr. has meant to the sport, in your eyes, Woody, someone who is so involved with NASCAR, I mean, again, we go over your accolades and what you do for the Motor Racing Network. Where would you place Dale Earnhardt Jr. as far as polarizing NASCAR drivers in the sport's history?
Well, I don't know how polarizing he might be. I guess there are some people who debate whether or not he's worthy of Hall of Fame status, but you know there are plenty of guys in the Hall of Fame who have less wins or who have, you know, less championships or that type of thing. He's got 26 wins, not counting an All-Star win. He's got 2 Daytona 500s in there. He's got 2 Xfinity Series championships along the way. I don't know that there's a guy like that who, you know, are you going to call it the Hall of Fame or the Hall of Stats? I guess that's what the question gets down to, but I'm not sure that's exactly what you're trying to get at.
Yeah, I mean, that's always tricky, regardless what sport we're talking about. I mean, is it based specifically off of numbers, or do you look at what an individual has done for the sport? And I think there's no doubt about it. At the end of the day, Dale Earnhardt Jr. has done a lot for the sport of NASCAR.
Oh, certainly he has. It brought a legion of fans aboard. You know, he was the guy who, you know, a moment ago we were trying to figure out and talk about some guys who are going to be the up-and-comers that fans may gravitate toward. At the time, his father was getting toward the end of his career, and guys like, you know, Ricky Rudd that he used to race with at that time were getting near the end of their careers. There was this whole discussion like we're having today about who's going to replace these stars. Well, at that time, Dale Earnhardt Jr. was one of those guys. He replaced, you know, not replaced, but was there as the older stars started to step out of the car. He was one of those guys. Remember the old the Budweiser paint scheme and the backwards hat and the goatee and all that at a time when that wasn't as common as we see now? That he was that guy then. So the question becomes, who's going to be that guy going down the road?
Here's a question that I know Dale Earnhardt talked a little bit about yesterday. Junior talked about this yesterday. Could you see him moving Junior Motorsports to the Cup Series eventually?
Well, he says Kelly says no, his sister, so that's one thing, and she's a big part of the business there. But I think he doesn't want that headache, if you can describe it that way. That's a whole nother ballgame. If you think of the Xfinity Series as a baseball size issue, then the Cup Series is a basketball or bowling ball size issue in terms of, you know, the money, what you have to do, the obligations, that type of thing. Plus, I think he really enjoys developing younger drivers. I've had several conversations with him about trying to get younger guys opportunities in his cars, but the difficult part is he has to try and find sponsorship to do it. And you hear all the time from fans who say, oh, I don't want Kyle Busch in these Xfinity or truck races. He's ruining everything by winning all the time. But if it's Dale Earnhardt Jr., fans seem to like it. Well, in order for him to give an opportunity to a younger guy who doesn't have that big of a name, a sponsor, in order to write the check, may say, okay, Dale, we'll pay for X amount of races if you drive 3 of them or something like that. That's why, part of why, anyway, he said yesterday he's still got 2 more Xfinity races to run next year, so he's not getting completely away from the sport, and I don't think he wants to go up to that Cup level. I think he likes the level he's at with the Xfinity Series in terms of team ownership.
As far as this season goes, I mean, how similar do you expect this to be to Jeff Gordon's final season or Tony Stewart's final season, knowing that this is it? This is it for Dale Jr. Does that cast a shadow over the remainder of the season, every single weekend out now, the rest of the NASCAR season?
I think he would be uncomfortable with all that attention. He's not been a guy who does it for the accolades, so to speak. He's a guy who as he mentioned yesterday, did it to get his dad to notice him way back when and to get him to pay more attention to him way back when, and loves being around his guys and that camaraderie more than the fame or the spotlight. That's why, if you remember earlier in his career when he would have availabilities or interviews, he would stare at the podium a lot and stammer a lot, and now he seems much more comfortable in his own skin. I think to a certain extent he will relish in the chance to mingle with fans who want to love him and say goodbye from, you know, full-time driving, but at the same time he's not going away necessarily, and he could easily remember Tony Stewart won a race at Sonoma that nobody really thought he had a chance to win to make the playoffs. Jeff Gordon has the dramatic finish at Martinsville in the playoffs to keep moving through and keep going forward. Could we see something like that? Sure. 2 weeks ago, 3 weeks ago, people were asking, oh my gosh, is Jimmy Johnson over the hill and out of the game? And then look what happens. He wins two straight.
Right. And that was going to be the final question I was going to ask you. Right now, if you take a look at the standings in the Monster Energy NASCAR Cup Series playoff chase, Dale Earnhardt is 24th. He does have a top five finish this year. Do you see him making the final 16?
Oh, I think he will. Keep in mind, there are still three restrictor plate tracks left, and those are the ones that he has excelled at over the years. He's got one more chance at Daytona, two more chances at Talladega, and I don't think you'd find anybody who would bet against him, particularly at Talladega. But there are some other tracks he's perfectly capable of winning at as well along the way. And remember, all it takes is that one, unless we get, you know, past 16 winners, which we haven't done yet, then you start getting into tiebreakers and points and that type of thing for the playoffs. But yes, I think he's capable of winning a race, being in the top 20 at the end of the season in order to make the playoffs. And who knows, once you get there, it's like we say in other sports, once you make the playoffs, anything can happen.
Sure, absolutely. Woody Kane, again, I really appreciate you taking out the time to join us on the air today and to talk about the big announcement yesterday coming from Dale Earnhardt Jr. Before I let you go, please let the listeners know where they can find more of your work.
At MRN.com, we have the Motorsports Monday show. I host that one with Brad Keselowski, spotter Joey Meyer. That's on every Monday at noon at MRN.com and our free app. You can also get that on iTunes after the fact. NASCAR Today, every weekday, depending on what market you're in, it's between 5 and 7 p.m. and drive time for people to come home, where we have the biggest story of the day. And my next race will be Kansas. I'll be on pit road.
Woody, it was a pleasure to get you on. Thank you again for the insight. Hopefully we can get you on again soon.
You bet. It was fun.
Again, that's Woody Kane taking out the time to join us here on Drive Time Sports. We've got a break for just a moment. When we return, we're going to move over to talk NBA basketball right here on 107.3 FM and 750 AM. The Utah Jazz one game away from advancing to the second round.